Welcome back, everyone. I'm Demetrios, and this is another edition of the AI Minds podcast, a podcast where we explore the companies of tomorrow being built AI first. This episode is brought to you by DeepGram, the number one speech-to-text and text-to-speech API on the internet today, trusted by the world's top conversational AI leaders, startups, and enterprises like Spotify, Twilio, NASA, that one that puts rockets into space, and Citibank. Today we're joined by none other than the CEO and co-founder of RealChar, Sean. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm excited to talk with you because you are building something for the consumer, and we just bonded before we hit record on both having little daughters who are around 1 year old, so I can relate to lots of sleepless nights and kids getting into drawers they shouldn't be getting into.
Yes, they are actually, my daughter is like really noticed right at the moment right now.
Exactly. It comes with the territory, I think.
Yes.
So, dude, well, I know you've got a cool story. You were working in autonomous vehicles for about 4 years. I want to hear a little bit about that and what you learned around streaming and real time when it comes to AI.
Yeah, so hello everyone, I'm Sean. So I worked in a startup called Point.ai, and we're based in Fremont, California, and we were doing self-driving cars, and my team is primarily working on a lot of streaming data. So think about it, nowadays the larger model is really slow, right, when it processing data. But for self-driving cars, they consume a lot of data from the cameras, lidars, radars, also like audio, right? Because you have to listen on the sirens of the ambulance to know when to stop, right? So those data are coming in milliseconds. The self-driving car need to process those data and make decisions also in milliseconds. So those are the unique capabilities of all the self-driving cars on the road. But like thinking about all the larger model-based applications, you find it's really slow. It's still missing the real-timeness of the software. So when I thought about why building my own like voice assistant, that's got me really inspired. I think I need to bring the best of the real-time processing from the self-driving car into the larger model application world.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I know that there's some people that I've heard talk about how there's the actual like objective time that it takes to generate a response, and then there's the subjective time. And for that end user, sometimes it doesn't need to be as fast as milliseconds if you can preoccupy them with something else while they are waiting for the answer. So maybe it's like trying to solve a puzzle or give them a little like tidbit, like, hey, did you know this little fact? When it comes to autonomous vehicles, though, you can't do any of that. That doesn't work at all because there's no like, hey, let's preoccupy the end user while we get into a car accident, right?
Yes, yes. So that's why like in self-driving cars, there's few things really critical, right? So what I talk about is more like perception, like how it sees the world. Then the second part is like prediction. How do you predict the people who are wrong to you, right? When they want to make a left turn or right turn, or they want to sudden stop, right? Then you have something called planning, is like also plan ahead a little bit, right? Just how humans think ahead, like before you even talk, you think about, oh, what are the key points you want to attach? So those are the key elements for an autonomous vehicle. So that's also, we think those are the best things we should bring into the new, like larger model world.
Yeah. And so then you started a little open source project that got kind of famous on GitHub. It blew up, I would say. Was that while you were still working with the autonomous vehicles, or had you already left?
Oh, already left at the moment.
Okay.
Because once I get a taste of how the larger model works and how the GPT-3 works, so I find, okay, that's immediately the one thing I should do. Like, I quit my job.
Wow. So you're like, autonomous vehicles are cool, but this is the future.
Yes. Not as cool as like all the new AI and larger model.
Yeah. Well, tell me about what you created, this personal voice assistant, and it's all open source, right?
So for the RootChart is an open source project. So that's where we started with. So if you can still search the same like RootChart and on GitHub, that's a fully open source project. And we use like a lot of speech to text, text speech, and also DeepGram is also one part of the solutions in that open source project. You can get it to try. And then we move on to like something we are currently building. It's more a voice AI assistant for managing your personal phone calls. We can talk about it more if you,
Yeah, I really want to get into it. I am curious to hear the evolution of going from an open source project to what you are doing now and why you had the open source project. Was that just to test the waters and see if people wanted something like an end user voice assistant?
I'm really believing all the AI companion, AI assistant. I think in the future, everyone will have their own like Samantha or Jarvis, right?
Yeah.
So I want to really build in that future, right? So that's why we started with an open source project called RealChar. So the idea is to test how the voice interaction works plus a character, right? So last year was all about character, like character AI. There's a bunch of different characters. So that's what we tried. We said, okay, you know, it's not too hard to build. So we spent about 3 weeks to build RealChar. So that's an AI character you can talk to in real time. We had like interruptions already by that time. So that's why it's like blew up. People was super excited to see that project. So then we think, okay, how do we make the AI doing things for us, right? Not just like, you know, just talking to you like, be a like comfort or something, right? I want it to help me do things. So that's why I come up with ideas called Rivia, right? So so that's where I'm starting to working on this like voice AI assistant to manage my daily phone calls.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit more about what you're planning on doing now and how did you go about validating what you were doing? And it feels to me like you had a lot of traction with RealChar.
Yes.
And you could have tried to build a business off of that, right? Maybe it's like that companion and you charge people per month to have a companion or whatever. There's like, I don't want to say enterprise features because it's not B2B, it's more B2C, but you have special features that are not the open source version and you could charge that, but you felt like, wow, let's actually get this a little bit deeper. How did you validate that people wanted it to do things?
Yes, so very interesting like a question because when we build like RealChar, we were immediately thinking like, what's the next step, right? So for AI companions, we think there's two directions. One is going to more the like content or media type, right? So you create more characters, make it more engaging, make it more animated. You get to be getting more experience from the conversation. So that is one direction. The other direction is making it more AI assistant, right? So like the more the Jarvis part is like, oh, I want to give it more calendars, my emails, right? So it should be helping me to making phone calls, like book schedules, schedule meetings. So we look at ourselves and we think, you know, my team is really specialized in the later ones, right? The AI assistant path. So that's why we decided, okay, so we want to focus on this instead of like making it more animated or yeah, that way.
Yeah, exactly. I do like that. And it's very easy to think about when you tie these two cultural references to it, like Samantha or Jarvis.
Yes.
Like, okay, Jarvis, yeah, is your companion to help you do things and can get you out of a bind.
Yes.
And Samantha is more like someone to talk to that will help you and help your mental health, maybe.
Yes.
So the thing that I know that we talked about before we hit record was when in like 2015, Google gave us that demo of an AI assistant booking a haircut for you. And I was very excited when I saw that. It feels like that was a bit like Santa Claus, like, hey, this is great, but it doesn't actually exist. You feel like you can do that now?
Yes. I was in like Google Assistant team when like Sundar Pichai like announced the Google. The project is called Google Duplex. So the idea was when you ask Google Assistant to make a restaurant like reservation, it will just help you to call that restaurant as opposed to be able to handle all the natural conversations and help you to book that restaurant. The promise was great, and but putting actions, I actually very funniest thing is I actually interviewed someone who received like Google Duplex phone calls. So initially they said, okay, this looks like very fake. But then later on they find, oh, there's still their needs and they are bringing more business to the restaurant. But they find, okay, later on they find, okay, since Google Duplex is pretty stupid, they don't understand any like more like nuance, like, oh, where do you want to sit, right? Or do you want to like sit outdoor, or it's not, no indoor is available anymore. So they find, okay, later on, Google have to ask actual humans to make those phone calls. That's really odd. So I think they had an issue with scaling up the operation. Then it's definitely overpromised during that time.
Yeah, it reminds me of the latest news that came out of Amazon with their checkout.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon Go? And it's like, oh, yeah, that super advanced AI, which is basically just outsourced workers looking at a screen and putting items in your cart. And this wasn't so different because you had people calling in to restaurants since the AI wasn't there yet. But granted, that was 2015. A lot has changed since then.
Yes, I think now the difference between the new AI and the previous generation of AI is now the newer AI with larger model, it can really understand the nuance when the human starting to talk, right? So this wasn't there like a couple years ago. So Google was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And now we think we have a shot, we have an opportunity finally to represent anyone to starting making phone calls to business. So what also inspired me is I have a 1-year-old. So last year, when we tried to call like California paid family program, it spent me like 3 days straight just trying to call Lee. And the worst experience is, they have this like verification code. If you ever call like California paid family program, you will notice they have this verification code. Is when you listen to the audio, they give you a random 4-digit numbers. You have to pay attention to that 40 numbers. You have to put in the 40 numbers. Then they allow you to, okay, get in the next waiting line.
No.
And then they will tell you, okay, it's all like full. You have to call back. So for that 3 days, I had nothing done. I was like really pissed off. So that's why I said, okay, I need to do something. There should be better than this. So that's why I saw, oh, the Google Duplex is something like making phone calls. I have the same technology. Now I know how to make it real time and make the AI assistant actually do actions for you. So that's when we started working on this project called Rivia. And
So what can you show off that you can do now? Have you set it loose with the California state system?
Yes. So for Rivia and for anyone interested, it's Rivia.tech, Reviatech. So we have a landing page there. So the idea for Rivia is it will represent you to make any phone calls. So you don't have to call those business anymore. So it manages all your tedious calls. So for that, like a California paid family program phone call, we made Rivia understand in real time what are the verification code through DeepGram.
Hello.
Right? So we get those numbers. Then we tell the larger models, those are the things you need to press, and you have to press it now. So then it knows, okay, I need to press buttons. It actually press button for you. And when it detects, okay, you are like, the queue is already full, you cannot like wait anymore. So it won't hang up the phone call automatically and record that number again, until it get a hold to a human.
Incredible. Incredible. That is so you scratched your own itch on that one.
Yes.
Wow. That is so cool. And what else have you done?
For Rivia, we are thinking about like people the really the painful experience like people usually suffer from making phone calls. Think about the last time when you're trying to call like United Airlines or call a bank, right? So they really complex menus, and then they wait put you on waiting line for so many hours. Then they will tell you, oh, the office already closed. You have to call back again tomorrow morning. So what we made is you can actually schedule calls for Rivia. You can say, oh, Rivia, schedule a call tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the morning. Call this number, and this is the objective, and this is the basic information you need. So when you wake up at 9 a.m. in the morning, Rivia will give you a summary of what happened during the call. You will be able to see the full transcript and listen to the audio. And if the Rivia failed, well, sometimes like it does fail, right? Cannot achieve your objective, you can call back with the same context and give it a little more instruction, and then that's it. So your day will be just it like instruct Rivia to just keep calling, and you don't need to pay attention to that call at all.
Oh my God. And I can see so many different use cases that this would be valuable for, because we've all had those moments where we call, not even so like the banks and the government are easy ones, but I'm thinking like maybe it's your local plumber who is overworked
That's
and
really good.
they
Yeah.
can't get to it. Yeah. And
Yeah.
then
Yes. So that's exactly the thing. So we built the Rivia for myself, right? So I'm a dad. I own a house, and I'm a founder. I have million things, important things to do. So I built this like to solve this like for like call manage all the phone calls. When I think about like manage my house, there's plumbers, the gardeners, and the
yeah.
Rivia can do is crazy things can do is if there's something with your like sewer or like for your shower like drain or something, you can tell Rivia just call nearest 10 plumbers, get their quotes, get their time, and then give me a summary of who is available in the next tomorrow. Then call back to that person and say, you can come to my house, and here's my address. So that's exactly what we built for all the like plumbers.
Wow. And a lot of people are talking about AI agents right now. And I think when you hear people talking about AI agents, they instinctively think about like on your computer, inside your computer, an agent that will break down tasks and then go do things inside of your browser or inside of your operating system. This feels like you're taking the agent outside of the hardware and you're bringing it into the real world.
Yes, so exactly. That's the same feeling I had. Because when we look at all the autonomous agent, right? I find a lot of work. You don't want to be replaced by AI somehow, right? But then when I talk to people, you do want to be replaced by AI when making phone calls, right? So
Yeah.
those are the like really worst experience you already have, and also like when you think about AI, bring those to the real world, it's so totally different challenge, right? Because for like browsers, computers, it's all digital, right? But when you bring the AI into the real world, the at the end when they receive a phone call, they sometimes don't expect an AI calling them. So how do you play a role that's similar like a human, but they still sounds okay? I know. Okay, I still knows it maybe an AI. But I get my information, oh, I'm okay, AI calling me. So that's a
Yeah.
little bit tricky, when you're making this, like bring this to the real world. It's similar to how the self-driving car works. When you bring those to the on the road, you have the similar issue.
Are you specifically calling out that when someone answers the phone, you say, "Hi, I'm Sean's AI assistant"?
So we usually call, when we call out, we tell them like we are representing a client, right? So we sometimes the voice will give it away. And sometimes they may, so it's just like similar, like how when the business calling you, they will say, oh, this is a recording for business training. It's similar cases for Rivia.
How do you deal with the idea of AI agents being a little bit flaky and not always doing what you tell them to do?
Yes. So this is always, I joke about, like, you can create a demo of AI agents probably using only 10% of the resource. But the 90% of the resource you should put into, like, how to simulate, evaluate, and validate that agent is reliable for that scenario. So that's exactly what we did. So when we bring the AI agent into the real world, so what we did was, like, we tracing how the AI agent is making decisions into milliseconds. So we know exactly at that point of time why it's saying that or why it's pressed this button. So we have the full, like, replay history we can trace. The second is, like, we build our own, like, in-house simulations, how AI talking to AI all the time. So even though we are, like, specialized in like outbound calling, but we also have AI to receive inbound calling. So they are constantly play with each other. That's how we feel like all the AI should be, like, learning from each other, right? Make it more natural. So that's what we had. We have a simulation environment for them to keep constantly talking to each other for a few things. If feel in the real world, we can bring that into the virtual world, then let them to role play, to that point, and we see how they react.
And so, have you encountered the situation when an agent calls a bunch of gardeners to fix your lawn and it tells you that, okay, we got a gardener that's going to come over tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and at 9 a.m. the gardener shows up and it's like, what? The agent told me 4. Why are you here now? So you lose that trust in a way?
So this is very interesting. Like, we have a slightly different theory. Because we think large model is does hallucination, right?
Yeah.
So, but for critical information, you do have to have a code in control. So a few things, like few things we have noticed, like, you have to have code in control is, like, scheduling, right? The large model will give you 1 numbers, but you have to make sure those are validated across board, right? You have a validation for, like, scheduling, and also a payment, right? When you try to, like, order food, you have to have, like, those really accurate. So
yeah,
there are a bunch of things you have to have coding control. You cannot just let a larger model to in control. So that's another thing we find is very useful, is, like, we have those special test cases. Whenever we find those test cases, we add those into the test suite. So we will be able to simulate continuously. Yes, initially we had similar issues, like it hallucinates a lot. For like some random like days, random numbers. So that's how we solve that.
Yeah, I always find that funny. And
yes,
I wonder, I've done a lot of thought experiments on if I trust an agent to go and plan me a trip to France. And if I will, I guess, if you see the confirmation ticket for the train, because I'm in Europe, in my inbox, and I see the hotel confirmation, that's one thing, and that's very grounded in reality. But if the agent tells me, okay, tomorrow your train leaves at this time, and then I show up at that time, and then there's no train even, or I don't have any of the details, that could be difficult, and that could be, like,
yes,
a easy way for me to be like, well, I don't think that this agent actually works.
Yeah, I think this is, like, the shared concern among people who are using AI agents. A few things I can share, a few insights I can share with you. First is, for any of the AI agents, you have to build trust, right? It's just like how you interact with human. So that's how when we create our Rivias, we allow you to talk to AI agent first to get a sense of how the AI going to interact with you and how the AI going to interact with other humans. So you're starting to build trust, like, oh, I can make it book a restaurant for me. Oh, it's reliable, did that. Oh, then I can use that on plumbers. Then I can use that in my bank. So there's a trust, like, levels for those tasks. So that's how we want to, like, you to understand how the AI agent is going to be used, power your daily life. Then the second part is, if you are building AI agent, you might be doomed if you are using GPT-4. So like we have a tracing on all the like GPT-4 like outputs. It's not stable. We have tried all the ways, try to make the output restable, right? So if you cannot stabilize the output, your AI agent is out of control. So we have to use other models to have more stable controls. So that's how we simulate, right? Because GPT-4 is constantly failing us at the simulations. So that means like you cannot, you know, there are certain behaviors, it's unexpected. You cannot rule that out, right? You either add a lot of coding to fix that or you use different things. So that's why I find when we find, okay, if your agent need to be like creative, fine. But if your agent need to be like really stable and really accurate, if you're a GPT-4, it might be really hard.
Yeah. So how do I interact with Rivia? Is it talking on the phone or talking to the agent? Or do you have an interface on... Is there also a way to interface with it and give like, here's all the things that I like, here's the things that I don't like, or here's the ways that I like things to be done, and here's my calendar, can you sync with that, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so when we talk about Rivia, Rivia is still an AI assistant, but we specialize in phone calls. So Rivia, we have a mobile app. We already passed Apple reviews, and we are starting to do beta testings. And it's a mobile app like you can use, and once you log in, you can through like text or you can have a natural voice conversation, right? I'm specializing in voice, right? So yeah. You can have a voice conversation and say, "Oh, Rivia, something is wrong with my like air conditioner, right, or something, right? So I need to find someone to fix that." And then Rivia will, based on that context and based on where you live, it will ask you. Oh, also it knows like when you're trying to reach to those people to fix. What are the basic information it needs, right? It needs, oh, can I share your address with the person or share your name or share your phone numbers? It will ask you for those basic informations. So then it will search the internet or the locations, your locations, for the nearest like people who can fix this. So they say, oh, are you ready to allow me to make phone calls? You say yes, then that's it. So it will making all the phone calls out, and then it will starting to receive all the summaries once you finish. But you can, the Rivia also give you the capabilities to jump into any phone call. You can see the live transcripts and hear the live audio. If you find, oh, Rivia is giving something wrong instructions, the crazy thing is you can take over that phone call at that moment. And the other side will hear your voice, and Rivia is like, it will stop talking. And even crazier is you can hand this over back to Rivia. And Rivia will be able to continue the conversation. We'll never lose our context of what happened.
That sounds like you were inspired from the autonomous driving days.
Yes.
You want to take over driving when there's a hairy turn or something. And then you say, okay, now back to you when I'm on the highway.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's when we're thinking about when we build this like AI assistant, do we want to go through the co-pilot path or the autopilot path? We find like people like the autopilot path, right? So I don't want to be in the call, right? If I want, I can, right? But I don't want to be in the call, right? So You have to handle everything for me, but I still want the capability to like steering the wheel, right? So I will be able to jump in the call and to take over.
Have you thought about offering this to the businesses that you are calling? Because it seems like the agent, if they're calling the business is probably happy to get more business. But after a while, if all of a sudden 80, 90% of the public uses this, the business is going to get fed up with talking to AI agents.
Yeah. So a few things we have noticed, like if you look at all the people who are building like voice agents, they all built for the business. No one built an AI assistant for myself, right? So we really want to build the voice AI for you, for the individuals who are busy, right? And we tell people who are interested in our technology saying, okay, there is a business sales pipeline, right? Go through the pipeline. Once we have more resource, we might work with you. And the interesting thing is like, since we we record, we know, like, when they making all the phone calls, we have all the transcripts, we will tell the business, oh, we can help you, right? So
oh,
we
nice.
Notice like a huge delay when we make phone calls, my customer making phone calls to you. So do you want us to help you? So we already have a solution for them. That's a number and so many phone calls. That's more convincing.
Wow. Yeah, I could see that. Well, Sean, this has been great, man. Where I get it at revia.tech. That's REVIA.tech. I'm going to go sign up right now because I have to make a few government calls to get my daughter's passport renewed, and I'm going to take it for a little test drive.
Yes. It's like also like you, it's still in a wait list, right? So if you share the reference link with your friends and if they join the wait list, you get sooner priority access. And we are thinking about releasing that priority access already next month.
Perfect.
Pretty soon.
Perfect. That sounds great. Well, I'm excited for everything you're doing, and I hope to never have to talk to my phone service provider ever again. That is what I am hoping for by using Revia.
Yes. We will make that life come true.